we'll take this one, brother. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. You can be seated for just a moment. And I won't hold you too long. What an honor to be with you again in Nacogdoches. My goodness. Thank you, folks, for tolerating me and us. I told my wife, well, I've told a few people, you know, we've pastored very few churches. But I said the people wanted my wife, but they had to take me to get her. So it's a package deal. And we're so honored to be with you again today. And lest I forget it, if we don't see you before the next 3 weeks, we wish for you the best Christmas you've ever had. I hope you get what you want, if it's okay with the Lord. And hope you have a very wonderful season. I feel like I've heard from the Lord. I am always amazed. God never ceases to amaze me. As long as I've tried to live for the Lord, He still never ceases to amaze me. And I want to share with you, I will probably preach a little bit different than I did the last couple of times I was here. And again, thank you, Brother and Sister Cross White, for the honor to minister to your people. And I feel that God has given me a message, especially for somebody. And it's for me if it's not for nobody else. But I want to be a blessing to you. And God has certainly been a blessing to my wife and me. I was not in the church when we met. I was not in the church when we married. We got in the church 1 year after we were married, less than 13 months, 12 months almost exactly, just about almost 12 months and not quite 13. And we've tried to live for God ever since, and I've never looked back. I've never been sorry. We quit our job in 1975, went into the ministry full-time. I've never looked back. God, one of the things He did that amazes me, I asked my supervisor before I quit my job about taking a leave of absence. And he told me, said, I will give you a leave of absence if you want it, Marlo. But, and I said, what, Russell? And he said, no, let me just, I said, no, go ahead. We're friends. Besides you being my supervisor, just say on. And he said, well, I'll give you a leave of absence. But he said, if you take a leave of absence and things get a little bit tough, it would be too easy to run back, to use the job as a crutch. And he was not Pentecostal by any shape or form. And I thank God that he told me that, because there might have been, I don't think there was, but there might have been a time that I could have went back to that job. But God took care of that. My company had a situation, or had a rule. If you quit in good standing, you could come back anytime you wanted to. And just before I quit, they changed the rule. If you quit, you couldn't come back. They changed that. So they eliminated any chance of running back. But you know what? I never needed to. I never had to. I never needed that crutch. God's been with us. 66 years will be next month. And how grateful I am. And I pray that I can be a blessing to you. If you'll stand with me, I will go into the Word of the Lord. And I'm going to read some familiar scriptures, but I'm going to use it a little bit different way that I've never really thought about it a whole lot. And I pray that I can touch you this morning. I pray that I can get inside you, your mind, and in your heart, and let you know something really, really good today, because I feel like God has let me know something that I need to share with you what God has let me know to tell you today. Matthew chapter number 26. And I've never heard this even remotely preached in any way that I, by the grace of God, am going to try to preach it. And I pray this morning that when we leave, you will have a different attitude. If you've got a little bit of a problem, that you will have, say, hey, devil, you know what? I know everything's going to be all right now because that preacher just gave me a word that let me know. And that's exactly what I've come to do, to give you a word and let you know. I don't know what your standing is with the Lord. I don't know how your relationship with the Lord is, but I do feel that God has given me something to let you know. It does not have to be on shaky ground. It does not have to be with a big question mark. But you can walk out of here with your head up and say, God, I am so grateful that you let me know today it's all right. It's going to be all right. It might not have looked all right when I walked in, but when I walked out, I began to realize, you know what? Everything is all right. The devil has been lying and the devil has been tormenting, but not anymore, Mr. Devil, because the word of God has let me know that everything is all right. If I'll just get back in touch with God and do what the Bible said. Matthew 26, verse 69. Now when Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. To the very next chapter, 27 of that same book. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the elder priests and elders, to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed and went and hanged himself. Jumping over to 1 John chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if, can I change that word and use substitute the word but? If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for us only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jumping over for one more scripture in the book of Micah chapter 7 and verse number 8. And it goes like this. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Please notice these last two verses. That if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And we have a propitiation for our sins. And Micah said basically, somewhere you're going to stumble. Somewhere you're going to fall. Somewhere you're going to mess up. Lord, I love you from the depths of my soul. And I give all honor, all praise, and all glory to you. Thanking you for the blessed promise of where I'm standing today, Lord, to allow me to break the bread of the word. Asking you, Lord, let it be not me, but would you speak through me to every soul in this congregation today, to that one, God, that's struggling, to that one that may be having a doubt, God, speak to that heart today, to that one that's down, lift them up, to that one that's discouraged, give them the strength to rise again. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. And the people said, amen. Amen. God bless the reading and the ministry of his word. Please be seated. And with the help of the Lord, I want to preach to you this morning from this thought: your actions make the difference. An advocate is a person who pleads another's cause, like an attorney if you were to go to trial. A propitiation is somebody that can win or can regain the goodwill of somebody. And Jesus is the only one that can do both. My thought today, your actions makes the difference. If I can use this illustration from my mind, and God just gave it to me a little while ago, Peter and Judas was kind of like two men in the church. If I can use an illustration like that, they were both friends and had both been chosen by the Lord God himself. This is one reason that I hate to hear somebody, I'm going to live for God no matter what. I like to use it this way: by the grace of God, I intend to live for God. Peter said, I'll never deny you. And so said the rest of them. But it was not long Peter fell by the wayside, in the sense he wanted people to think, I don't even know the Lord. Can I tell somebody today, it was the action between Peter and Judas that made the difference in the rest of their lives. Can I tell somebody today, your actions is what makes the difference. Your actions is what's going to determine whether you are saved or lost. You see, God will not save you against your will, but neither God will allow you to be lost if you really won't, and if you do what you can to live for the Lord. I realize this may not be a shouting message, but it is one that if you'll listen, it will get you in the gates. You see, I've been in the church a long time, and a lot of times, I've got heroes, I've had heroes, I still have heroes. And we look at people like that, I think most of us do, and then we think, oh my, it looks like they never have a problem. We live in an imperfect world, and none of us are perfect, and we are not incapable of falling. We don't ever want to get the attitude, I'm never going to do anything that might cause me to be lost. I've told people that I've pastored before. I reminded my wife this morning, I'm not worried about people going out and getting drunk. I'm not worried about somebody going out maybe and committing adultery. But what about our attitude? Oh God, give me the right attitude. I can look the epitome of a Holy Ghost, God-fearing man, but inside my attitude can be rotten. My actions is what's going to determine whether I get straightened out or not. Pastor can't do it for me. Somebody else cannot do it. But I want to tell you today, ladies and gentlemen, our attitude has a whole lot to do whether we make it or not. We can pretend. We can put on a show. We can go through the motions, but our attitude has a whole lot to do with it, and our actions is what's going to determine the results. I had never really thought it, about it so much like I did after God began to deal with me. I don't think I've ever heard it preached along this line. Two men. Peter had a position, but so did Judas. Judas was the secretary treasurer of the 12. Both of them were handpicked by the Lord. And Jesus said in one point, he said, have I not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil? He didn't say you've always been a devil. Is a present term. It doesn't say he always has been a devil. I could be in the church today, but tomorrow I could be out of the church. Or I could keep coming to church. I could be in the church and in actuality be out of it. My actions, and nobody can do it for me. Ladies and gentlemen, may I submit to you today, your actions, it's what's going to determine the end results. My God, help me to be like Peter was and to go out when I mess up or if I mess up and shed some tears. Let me tell you, you've got a God friend that loves you enough that he walked up that hill to Calvary and he laid down his life all because he loved you. And your actions alone will determine the outcome. Amazing when I compare the actions of the two men. Peter, you know, the Bible, I believe, says, likewise said all of them. But we don't read anymore about the other 11 other than they were restored back into the family. But Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Now, I don't know what you think, but it's my opinion those were tears of repentance. Judas went back. The Bible says he repented, but he repented to the wrong people. You see, if you go down to the picture show or you go somewhere else and you repent to somebody else, that's not going to do you any good. You need to tell God, God, I'm so sorry. I realize I've blown it. I have messed up. And when you get that attitude, I'm telling you, God said later, tell Peter, I want to see him. And because of Peter's attitude, because of what Peter did, Peter was restored and spoke the message on the day of Pentecost. Peter hadn't always been in a position to preach that message, but because of his actions, what he did, God restored him. Can I tell you, God doesn't want to throw you out. God doesn't want to throw you away. God doesn't want to displace you. God loves you this morning, but it's your actions that's going to make the difference. God told me this morning, I told my wife, she was fixing her hair, and I walked in, and I said, babe, you know what I feel like God just spoke to me? She said, no, what? And I said, I feel like the Lord just spoke to me and told to tell somebody, this is the Lord speaking, and I feel like, yeah, I know you've messed up, and you're wrestling with it, but it's okay. Come on home. Let me tell you, there is a God with arms outstretched. When the prodigal son came home, let me tell you, the daddy never went after him, but it took actions on the prodigal son's part. Let me tell you, God won't come and grab you around the arm and make you come home, but I can tell you today, the God that loves you so willingly, he's standing waiting with arms that's outstretched to welcome you back into the family of God. God doesn't want you to walk away. God doesn't don't want you to be lost. God doesn't want to reject you when you stand before him. But your actions are what's going to determine whether God says, I'm glad you're home, or whether God says, depart from me. I've come to tell somebody today, sir and or ma'am, God loves you. And God said to tell you, it's all right. Come on back home. I still love you. You say, preacher, you want me to tell you what I've done? No, sir. And no, ma'am, I don't need to know. Just tell God you're sorry. Doesn't take forever to repent. But your attitude when you repent. Just a few verses difference between Peter weeping bitterly and Judas saying, I messed up. And Peter went out and wept bitterly, but Judas went and hanged himself. Oh, can I tell somebody today? I don't know who God sent me today to and for, but I have come to tell you that God told me to tell you. I know you've messed up. There are no secrets from God, but God said to tell you, it's okay. Come on back home. I still love you. The daddy never went down to the hog pen and got the prodigal out of it. I imagine that prodigal son had a pretty bad smell about him. I imagine he was rugged looking. But when the daddy saw him, he ran a long ways. He didn't wait till he got a bath. He didn't wait till he got on perfume. He lapped his arms around him. And God's ready when you're ready today. God's ready with the same attitude. God will meet you on the road. All you got to do is come to the Lord and say, God, I am so sorry. I know I blew it. God's not going to say, you messed up big time. But God's going to say with arms around you, I still love you, and I'm so glad you're back in the family. It is amazing. One preached after he messed up so badly. The other one died. What was the difference? It was the actions they took. You know, I don't have not one secret from the Lord. You don't either. God knows what goes on in my mind. He knows my intents. He knows the desires. And I know we're not running the aisle and shouting. But I believe with everything that's in me, God sent me with a message for some people today. God knows where you're at. He knows whether you're cold, lukewarm, or hot. He said, I would rather you be hot. You don't have to be lukewarm, and you certainly don't have to be cold. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes, and I have said, and I don't know anybody that could change my feelings, that I believe with everything that's in me that a vast, vast majority of marriage problems are the inability or the unwillingness to communicate, to talk about if you got a problem. Let me tell you, if you got a problem living with God, why don't you go talk to the Lord and let him know? He knows all about it anyway. He's not going to tell you, I don't want to hear it. He's not going to tell you, I can't do anything about it. But I've come to tell you today, sir. I've come to tell you, ma'am. God's going to take you by the hand and he's going to pull you right back into his arms. Because no matter how bad you get, God still loves you. God still died on the cross for you. And God still wants you back where you need to be in the family of the Lord. Judas, if God would allow Judas to appear one time and talk to you for 5 minutes, there would need to be no altar call, but it would just happen. Because I feel like what Judas would say is, don't do like I've done. I had it all. I've known in my years of living for God, and I know situations. I've done some marriage counseling. And I remember one couple that this woman, and they were in the church, and she just, about the best I can tell you, she just went crazy. She left her husband. I don't know what all she did, but I know she ran around. And he went to her one day, and I thought, this is the way the Lord does. He went to her one day, and he said, I don't care who you've been with. I don't care what you've done. I still love you, and I still want you. And they reconciled, and as far as I know, they're in a good marriage today. Can I tell you, God does care about what you've done, but he's not going to say you just were too bad. No, sir. It may be, and God told me to tell you, you may have some scars from things you've done that's long ago happened, and they may be like Peter. This was a fresh mess up. It doesn't matter to God where the scars are old and they're just scars of past actions. It doesn't matter if you messed up yesterday or last night. The same God loves both of you just as much. He's not going to say you've been out of church too long. He's not going to say you did this just yesterday. But what God is going to do is say, I still love you and I still want you as my child. I still want you in my family. God's not going to say you have been too bad. God's not going to say I cannot forgive you. But God's going to wrap his loving arms around you and say, I forgive you. And you just come on back into my family. My blood will wash you white as the new fallen snow. May I tell you today, ladies and gentlemen, God loves you. He cares about you. And he wants you back in the family where you belong. So Micah said it. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, not if I fall, but when I do fall, by the grace of God, I'm not going to stay down. You know, it's not such a disgrace to fall, but you don't have to stay down. And when I can tell you this, when you mess up, whether it's little time or big time, the devil's going to be right there. You going back to church after you did that? You going back to church after you went there? You going back to church after you talked like that? Tell him yes, because we're not a judgment hall. We're a spiritual holiday. I'm sorry, a spiritual hospital. We're here to help you. We're here to help you get back in the family. We're here to help you get back on equal footing. We're here to help you be saved. We want to go to heaven together. So, your actions make the difference. You say, preacher, you've been in a church a long time. You've been perfect. Come on, folks, I'm human. If you think you're perfect, you got the wrong. The Bible said, let no man think more highly of himself than he ought to think. If you begin to think, man, I can't fall, you got the wrong attitude. We're subject to fail. We can't fall. You don't get too big to fall. David, oh, the Bible said he was a man after God's own heart, but he blew it. But the Lord forgave him. David, God won't dig up the wild oat patch you sowed, but he will forgive you. David said, mine iniquity is ever before me. You have to live with some memories. We don't have a delete in our mind like a computer's got. But even when you punch delete, if I understand right, and that's off the screen, it's gone. But it's out in cyberspace. And they tell me somebody that knows how to do it can pull back every site you visited. And they can tell you where you went and what day it was. I'm telling you, there is no secret from God. And we may not can forget it ourselves, but the blood of the Lamb of God wipes the slate clean. And the Bible said, their iniquities, I will not remember them anymore. When God says delete, it is forever deleted from his mind. at his memory. There may be things in the past that you've done. You wish you hadn't done it. Let me tell you, God don't remember it. The blood of the Lamb cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. And you just got to be right. Have the right attitude and say, God, I am so sorry. I ask you to forgive me. And just about that quick, God, his mercy goes into action, and he will wipe the slate clean and restore you and put you back in the family of the Lord. Your actions makes the difference. So I can do one of two things. I can apologize to God, which is actually all repentance is. I can have the right attitude and say, God, I am so sorry. And really mean that. And that's how long it takes for God to forgive me. It doesn't take 6 months of penance for God to forgive and really God to forget. But I have got to do something for God to take that action. I've got to let God know I'm sorry I messed up. Have you messed up? No, I've never been out of the church since we've been in it. I've never gone back out and done great big bad things. But there's been days that I'm sure my attitude wasn't right. There's been days I didn't even like myself. So how could I expect anybody else to like me? I've often said, you know, if you're giving me a bad day, I can get away from you. But if I'm giving me a bad day, no matter where I go, I'm still there. The guy that's giving me a day still goes right with me. So I have to say, God, help me. Help my attitude. And I pray a lot of times, God, help me to say and mean it from my heart, your will be done. Because sometimes when God puts on that potter's wheel, it's not always a fun thing. But let me tell you, God knows what he's doing. And God can mold us into his will and the way he wants us. And he can make us a vessel of honor. And all it takes for God to mold us is for us to say, God, your will be done, and meet it from your heart. Can I tell somebody today, God told me to tell you it's okay. Come on home. He loves you today. He cares about you. So would you stand with me? And if I could have some music, I'd tell you what I feel like doing. I feel like every one of us ought to just come down to the altar and let God know, I love you, Lord. I'm so grateful that I'm one of your kids. I'm so grateful, God, that you've made me a part of the family. And if you've done something wrong, if you spill the beans, if you drop the watermelon, if you just messed up big time like Peter did and Judas did, don't be like Judas. Be like Peter and ask God to forgive and let God restore you where you need to be in the family of the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord, can we? God, I love you. Oh, Lamb of God. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, God. I love you, Lord.
He loves you. He
touch every
loves
heart, Lord. Touch
you.
Every life, God.
Jesus.
Lord. That one that stumbled, God, restore them right now, God, I pray. Touch the heart of that prodigal son and put them back where they need to be in the family. Love him today, folks. Let him know we're honored and we're grateful to be in the house of the Lord. If you're not where you need to be with the Lord, it doesn't take long to get there.
He loves you, Jesus. Jesus.
Come on, bathe your heart in His grace and mercy today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Jesus.
Would you talk to Jesus? Don't miss this time. Don't miss this opportunity today to talk to the Lord. Well, this is a grand opportunity for the soul. Don't miss it today. Don't miss that opportunity. God, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your goodness.
Of His grace, the mercy undeserved that can never be explained. Heaven's best takes all the scars for the worst in all of us. That's the glory of the cross, the wonder of His love. That's the beauty of the blood.
Come on, receive that beauty of the Lord today, that blood that still flows.
The mercy undeserved that can never be explained. Heaven's best takes all the scars for the worst in all of us. That's the glory of the cross, the wonder of His love. That's the beauty of the blood, the goodness of His grace, the mercy undeserved that can never be explained. Heaven's best takes all the scars for the worst in all of us. That's the glory of the cross, the wonder of His love. That's the beauty of the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus.
Brother Schubert mentioned a while ago, it should be like a hospital, an ICU, intensive care. What if today somebody here, what if, because Brother Schubert, several times you felt the Lord tell you specifically, somebody that God's saying, I'm here. Only thing I do is make a right choice. And I have felt it today, this service. Somebody here today needs to hear what the Lord said. And if we come to the ICU today, the hospital, and there's somebody amongst you, it may be Brent. It may be his last service. It may be mine, this Brent. You don't know who. And if we come through here and not get what God has or give what God is saying to give, and we walk out of here, this is eternity. This is very eternal. This is eternal. We can't just come and let the word of God just go forth without us connecting to God. And I just felt, Brother Schubert, you said it several times. That person next to you, it could be them that needs to feel the goodness and the grace and the forgiveness of God in their life that are battling. I want you to pray for that person. If you're talking to somebody else, amen, whatever, I want you to pray for that person near you. Amen. I want you to put your hand on their shoulders. Amen. I want you to pray for that person near you right now. Amen. I want you to talk to the Lord with them right now. God, help us right now, Jesus. We want to be ready. We want this to be a moment, Lord, that we take, God, and we seriously search. God, I pray for the glory of the Holy Ghost right now. Help us, Jesus. Come on, talk to the Lord. In your name, Jesus. In your name, Jesus. In your name. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord. That's what Brother Schubert preached about today. Receiving the goodness of the Lord, basically. Amen. That God is a good God. Amen. That forgives us of our sins. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. But don't ever take it lightly. Don't ever take a service lightly. Well, the Lord's trying to reach to you or somebody else. If it's not for you today, don't just shuck it off. And there's somebody here today needs something from God. Amen. The Lord is reaching down to try to touch somebody. And if we turn the channel and don't give God opportunity to our brother or sister or somebody here, amen, and we walk out of this place, you can't ever pull back regret. You can't ever go back and say, I wish that I did. I wish they would have just turned. I wish they would have just taken advantage of that service. Oh, friend, I would rather say, oh, amen, I love it when I just gave God my best. Amen, and he did the rest. Hallelujah. Amen. One more time, lift your hands to Jesus. I love you. God, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood of Calvary. Thank you for the goodness of the Holy Ghost, Lord, today. I love you, and I thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for joy and peace. Hallelujah. Amen. We made a statement the other day, December the 1st, about 25 days, every day to the day of Christmas, about giving. And the giving is not necessary. This is not necessary a giving of monetary things, but doing something for God every day, this to all the way to Christmas. And I want you to think about something you're doing for God, something you would do every day. Look for something to do for the kingdom of God. If it's a sacrifice, let it be. Let it be. Doing something for God every day. I'm going to do something for you, Jesus. And there's some that have taken the challenge, and there's some that's forgot about it. But I want you to consider every day till December 25th doing something for the King of Kings. Wise men still seek the Master. Wise men still bring gifts. The greatest gift you could give God is the gift of doing something in His kingdom. God bless you today. Thank you, Brother and Sister Schubert, for being with us this morning. We love them and we do appreciate them. Amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. Let's go to heaven.